Today we're going to talk about, the first class we had was the real you. We talked about we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. The second class was last week was the Father's plan. We talked about his plan for man. Even after they sinned in the garden, he had a plan. And that plan, what happened from the cross to the throne, we went through that. Now today, we're going to cover the new birth. And I think you may see this a little different way than you've seen it before. And I say that only because I found that to be true in other classes I've taught, that people didn't really have a full understanding of some of the things that happened at the new birth. Now, let me just, in a nutshell, summarize where we're going today, and then I'll cover it in more detail. All right, if you're born again or saved, here's what happened to you. Everyone in there, in here, you know, in life we have different experiences. I can go to Sue, she has one experience. I can go to Philip, he has another experience. And all of that, and I go around the room, we all have different experiences, different things. But this is one thing, that we all came through the same door, we had the same experience. It may not have been exactly the same in detail, but it was the same in spiritual substance. And so, since it applies to all of us, I want to cover this. Now, here's what happened to you if you're born again. When you were born again, the first thing that happened was your spirit, well, the first thing that happened was the old you, the sinner, died. Okay? The next thing that happens was your spirit was recreated, because if something dies, it ceases to exist, and you're going to have anything, you're going to have to start over again and have something new. So your spirit was recreated, and you were born again. Now, when your spirit was recreated, this is what happened. Number one, you had a nature change. The Word of God tells about this, nature change. Our natures changed completely. Number two, we had a kingdom change. We went from one kingdom into another kingdom. At that instant, this all happened instantaneously. It didn't happen gradually over a period of weeks where we sort of got better and we cleaned ourselves up a little bit and we saw that we gave our heart to Jesus and now we're really trying hard. This doesn't come that way. It came at the instant of the new birth and it happened to every one of you the same way. Maybe not in detail, but in spiritual substance it was the same. You had a nature change, you had a kingdom change, you had a Lord change, and you had a Father change. Those four things happened. Now, under the nature changed, you exchanged Satan's nature for God's nature. You went from a sinner to a saint. The Bible calls you a saint now. Now, we get hung up on that word saint because if some of our backgrounds came from certain churches that deify certain people as saints or canonize them as saints, we get the wrong idea of what the saint is. A saint in the Bible, folks, is simply a believer. All right? So we went from sinner to saint, and we went from being unrighteous to righteous. Okay, so that's where we're going to go today, all right? Now, first of all, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and see a description in one verse that pretty well sums up what happened to us. There's a lot more than this, but this sort of good one to kick the ball off here. Verse 17 in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation. If you look up the Greek word there, it's katesis, and it means something created that did not exist before. So therefore, if any person, any man, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Let's go over that real quickly, slowly again, because it really says a lot. Therefore, if any person in here, everybody in here has experienced this, all of us. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, and that's what happens when you get born again, you become part of Christ's body, he is a new creation that didn't exist before, brand new being. Old things, in other words, the old man died. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God now. Now, our brain fights that simply because when we get born again, we're so used to thinking of ourselves as this shell that we live in. You know, I mean, when I first heard this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. I thought, well, I don't really understand that because even though I'm born again, and I know I am, I still have some of the same habits I had before. I still think the same old dumb way about some things before. I haven't learned a lot yet. I haven't studied the Bible. How can all things become new? Don't I progress along? Don't I learn as I go? Aren't I going to learn more about the Bible? And won't I become more new and more changed as I learn and study God's Word? And see, that was my brain thinking of this. But see, that's why the first class we had said, the real you. Who is the real you? Your spirit. See, that's what he's talking about here. It's not your body or your mind yet that's changed. It's your spirit that's all things are of God. See, that's what became a new creation. It was in your spirit. My body didn't become a new creation, right? None of our bodies became new. Our mind didn't become a new creation. We still got the same old mind after we're born again. Same old thoughts, same old knowledge. I mean, when we were born again, every thought that you had, every piece of knowledge that you had, like, let's say I was an engineer. All that I learned in college about engineering, did that immediately get wiped out of my brain and something else put in? No. I still had that there. Now, when I was born again, you know, did my body change? No, I was bald before I got born again. I'm bald now. I'm still bald. I had a class one time I taught boldness in prayer, and we got to joking about that, and I looked at the title of the tape that the people made at this house I was doing this. They made the tape. They put down baldness in prayer. And so after that, whenever I would teach on boldness, they'd say, oh, we want to hear that again on baldness in prayer. You're good at that. Well, see, I'm still bald. And I was bald before, and I'm still bald. I'm going to be bald until I get to heaven with my new body, and then I don't know if it's going to be bald or not. Mary Ann hopes it still is, she told me. She likes me that way. Bless her heart. See how God can get people together? She's probably the only person in this whole county that would want to marry somebody bald, that would go out of their way. But Yul Brynner was always her favorite actor. Isn't God good? This is about the time I thought, there's nobody for me. He found her, you know? Somebody loved Yul Brynner. How did I get on that? Okay.
You're trying to make up for that earlier comment.
I know. Trying to get back at her good graces here.
This part is for the people who listen to the tape later in the week. Oh, we just love that part where you guys tease each other.
She grimaced now for everybody on the tape. Okay. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that person, that spirit man, is a new creation in here. In your spirit, that's all new. Old things have passed away. That old man died, and all things have become new. And all things, folks, in your spirit are now of God. That's why your spirit man is a true indicator. When you get guidance and it comes up from in here, follow it, because it'll always be the right thing, because that Holy Spirit indwells your spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to indwell a spirit that's full of sin and unrighteousness? I don't think so. I mean, you know, this is a temple of the living God now, your spirit. And everything in there is of God. So that's what this thing means. When you were born again, your spirit was born again. You were a new creation. The old man died, and everything became new in your spirit. All right, now your spirit's ticking again. You've got some potential there. You got God in there. Before you were born again, it was dead. There was nothing, okay? But now you've got all this potential. The problem is that we still got the old mind, we still got the old flesh, and it's got some bad habits. And so we've got to get our mind renewed to the Word of God, the Word tells us in Romans 12:2. Says to be not conformed to this world or this world's ways, but be transformed. How, Lord? Tell me how. He does. He says, by the renewing of your mind. Well, Lord, tell me more. How do I get my mind renewed? Through the Word of God. You got to get in there and get some new thoughts. You've got to get in there and find out some new ways of doing things, folks. And this, to me, is the most important thing a Christian can do after they become born again, is to begin to see the Word of God as your handbook for life. No matter what anybody else says, if the Word of God says do it a different way, go with the Word of God. God will always bail you out if you do. That's how you get your mind renewed. See, we come in, if you don't, now here's the tragedy. You can be a Christian for 30 years and be a baby. It's not like a regular birth in the sense that people just grow up. I mean, well, even a baby, you got to feed it the right things. If you don't feed a baby, what are you going to end up with after a year? Let's say you don't feed your baby much of anything for a year. You just give it some grass to eat once in a while, or some water, maybe, you know, 10% milk, 90% water type of thing. You go on like that for years, you don't get any good vitamins or any of that kind of thing. You're going to end up with one weird kid. I mean, he's not going to grow. He's not going to develop. But you know... Oh, okay. I mean, she wasn't fussing. That's what I meant. It didn't bother me. I mean, when I get going, nothing bothers me. Where was I anyway? If you don't feed that baby, it's going to wind up kind of strange after a while. And folks, we have the same thing with Christians. If that Christian doesn't apply themselves, if they don't get in the Word of God, if they're born again, and for 20 years, 30 years, they go on and act just the same old way they always did, they're saved now. Don't get me wrong. When they die, they're going to heaven because they've accepted Jesus as their Savior. But that's about it. They've never gone on and gotten their mind renewed in the Word of God. You know, and what happens is, they cruise along year after year after year after year. You can't tell them from a non-Christian, really, because they've never gotten in the Word of God. They don't know what it says, except what they get in church once in a while on Sunday, if they go. And sometimes that isn't deep enough to really carry them to the new level. And so what they do is they just keep going on and going on. And Paul calls those carnal Christians in the Bible. Or carnal means body ruled. They mean body ruled Christians. And he said, you should be ready for meat, but you're not. You still need milk. You've never grown. He says, you're still carnal. You're still body ruled. You're still ruled by how you feel, how you think, everything affects you, and that you react to it with your body and your feelings. He says, instead of looking at what the Word of God says, he says, because of this, he says, you're carnal. You're body ruled. And so, folks, you can grow up. I mean, you can be a Christian for 20 or 30 years and never grow unless you get in and feed on this. Okay? Now, somehow, in the very beginning, I knew. When I got saved, something told me, this is where what you need. This is your handbook for life, Mike. If you will do what this Bible says, I will back you up 100%. For I am not a liar. I tell the truth. You see, the thing is, folks, God never will be caught in a lie. Does that make sense to you? God will never be caught in a lie. God is not a liar. So, if you find a verse in the Bible that says, Mike, you do this, and I'll do this. If you do your part, guess what? God will do his part. And there's hundreds of scriptures in there like this. I was so excited when I found this out. I'm still excited. Because, you see, folks, we have a carte blanche here. We have God's word of what he will do when we do our part. Well, we all got a taste of this when we got born again. Someone told us, you know, if you give your life to Jesus and confess him as your Lord, you'll be saved. You won't go to heaven. I mean, you won't go to hell. You go to heaven when you die. We believed that. We acted on it. And guess what? Well, we got born again. Why don't we approach the rest of the Bible that way? Because what they said came out of here. There's so many wonderful promises in here, folks. So many things that touch your lives every day. I don't care what you're going through right now. There is a scripture that applies. And if you will do that scripture, God will get you out of the jam you're in. And once you get out of the jam, then he will make you a blessing to others. Because you can tell them how to get out of their jam. And that's what it's all about. But if you don't do this, if you don't approach it this way, if you don't see the Bible as the handbook for life, it could be nothing to you. That's why the Bible says, desire the milk of the word that you might grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. You have to desire it. You have to hunger after this word. We should. I mean, it's so wonderful. I mean, every problem that Marianne and I have, she's a witness, she's sitting right here, everything that's ever come up in our marriage, between the two of us, in our marriage relationship, our finances, our health, our kids, was covered in this Word of God. And when we did what it said to do, we got the answer. Now, it may not have come right away, but sometimes you have to wait. It says it's with faith and patience that we inherit the promises. It's not overnight sometimes. But it will come to pass if you won't waver. Now that was just free. That was a little off the subject, but we need to do that. So, gosh, here we go. We've only got one scripture. Well, we'll continue with this next week. Any questions? Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, We were born again, our spirit man was created. Now turn to Romans chapter 6, and we'll see some things that happen to us, whether we realize it or not. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Paul's talking to these guys, and he's talking to us. See, when they start this, you know, this Bible's not just written to the Romans, it's written to us too. Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. In verse 3 it says this. Paul says, don't you know that so many of us that were baptized into, the ones of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now folks, this isn't talking about the baptism you see in church here. See, that's an outward symbol of something that's already happened inside. You understand that? When you're baptized in the church, that's not when you get saved, right? You already got saved, and then you decide to be baptized to show the world that I am now a Christian. But you were saved before that. If you never got a chance to be baptized, you'd still go to heaven. Everybody understands that, right? But at the instant of salvation, you were baptized into the body of Christ. That's the baptism it's talking about here. All right. We were baptized into Jesus Christ, and when you were that, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with Jesus, means in the likeness of his death, then we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Listen to this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Jesus, that the body or slave it was to sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Your old person was crucified. When Jesus went to the cross, you were there too. And when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, it became real for you. Okay? He took everybody's sin. And so your old man, at the instant of the new birth, at the instant you accept Jesus as your Savior, that old man that was you without Jesus, that old spirit man, dies. Does everybody understand that? You died. I mean, some really neat things happened. That's neat, dying. Because unless that old man died, you can't be born again. And we all needed that. Okay. Now listen to this, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were, not now, the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now folks, here it is. What does a sinner serve? Sin. We were the servants of sin. That's the definition of a sinner. Before you're born again, when you're serving sin, that's a sinner. Okay? Now, after you're born again, it said you were made free from sin. And then you became a servant of righteousness, it says here. Hello, you're no more a sinner. You're now serving righteousness. How would a sinner serve righteousness? See, you can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. You're one or the other. If you've been born again, you're no longer a sinner, but a saint. Do you understand that? You're no longer a sinner, even though you may still occasionally sin. Why? Because you're no longer serving sin. You're serving righteousness. You're serving God. Even though you may occasionally sin, that's not your occupation anymore. That's not who you are. That's not your nature anymore. You may occasionally bow to the flesh and do something that feels good temporarily and sin, and you immediately come right again with the Father. If you confess that sin in fellowship, you'll never lose the relationship. Okay? But you're no longer a sinner. Think of it this way. I'll use somebody else as an example. Sue, when you go home, you'll probably cook your dinner. I'm sorry. But are you a chef? But you may occasionally cook dinner. I mean, I may pound an occasional nail, but I'm not a carpenter. I am not a sinner anymore. You're not sinners anymore, even though you may occasionally sin. Why? Because a sinner is who the person... If you're a sinner, that's who you are in your nature. That's your nature. That's who you are in your spirit. And you're not that anymore in your spirit. Because all things there are of God. Can you see that? Because you're serving righteousness now. Okay, now... Look over at chapter 5, verse 8. You don't have to go very far. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what does yet mean? Still. That means it was the way you were in the past, right? There's a Greek word there for yet, that E-T-I, and it means used of a thing that was true formerly, whereas now a different state of things exists. Did you get that? That little word yet is a Greek word, E-T-I, etai or something, I'm not sure. And it means this, I looked it up, it's used of a thing that was true formerly, before, but is not, but now a different state of things exists. So, you know, I don't have to interpret yet for you, really. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, if we were yet sinners, doesn't that say that after we were born again, we're no longer sinners? I mean, doesn't that make sense? That's what that's saying. When we were yet sinners, over here, before, Christ died for us. Now we've accepted what he's done for us, and we're no longer yet. We're in the future now. We're no longer yet sinners. Okay. Now, go to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's that spiritual death we've been talking about, and so that death passed upon all men. In other words, all men died. Spiritual death. We talked about that in the last class. Who was the one man by which sin entered into the world? Adam. Exactly. By Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and that death passed upon all men. Now, verse 14. And this death reigned from Adam to Moses. From the very time when Adam sinned, that spiritual death came on mankind, and it reigned over every man that was born into this world until Moses. Why doesn't it say Jesus there? Because at Moses, the law came in, and they could actually get their sins covered for a year when the high priest would go in with the blood every year, okay? So, but death reigned from Adam to Moses, all right? Now, verse 17. For if one by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by Adam, much more, listen to this, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness. It's a gift, folks. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. To say you're not righteous, which is a gift, is the same as saying you're not saved, which is also a gift. They come in the same grace package. You see that? To say you're not righteous, which is a gift, says right here, is the same as saying you're not saved yet, because it's also a gift, and it comes in the same package. It's just we haven't heard it as much. We've heard over and over that when you say Jesus is your Savior, you're saved. That's true. We don't hear every day that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're made righteous with God, made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why I'm telling you this morning, because we need to understand this. Especially new Christians need to hear this. See, it's a gift of righteousness, just as you receive the gift of salvation. Does everybody see that now? It's a gift. Just like I said earlier, if I give Dan 50 bucks, is that 50 bucks? Does he have 50 bucks or does he not? He's got 50 bucks. So it says right here, gift of righteousness. Does your Bible say that? Does the NIV say gift of righteousness? That's what it is. It's a gift. See, you didn't earn it. In most churches, if the pastor would get up and say, how many here are righteous? About maybe nobody would raise their hands. Isn't that the truth? What? I would and I have. Because I am the very righteousness of God in Christ. And I am not going to denigrate that. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to... I'm going to give God the credit for what he did. All right? And that was, he made me righteous. I didn't earn it. Don't get me wrong. But I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when you see yourself that way, and you know you're that way, the devil comes around, you're going to have a little bit more authority behind what you say than if you think you're just a poor unworthy sinner and just, well, I couldn't approach God. I guess I'll just have to put up with whatever the devil's doing. I don't have any power over him. You've got the name of Jesus. Yes.
Well, another thing, at least with the way I think, if you think you're righteous and you really believe that, I think when you start to do something maybe that you shouldn't, you're going to think about that a little bit more because you know that you're a righteous person. And
you know you're carrying the Holy Spirit around with you wherever you go. When you go into that R movie, you're sitting there with the Holy Spirit watching that movie with him. You know, that really sobered me up fast. What you're saying, you are the righteousness of God. We have a responsibility to the world. Now, we didn't make ourselves righteous, but God made us righteous, and we do have a responsibility to see ourselves that way and to also to behave that way to a certain extent. Not in works, and we can't never be righteous in our own works, but you know what I'm saying here. I mean, your Holy Spirit, when I began to see God lives in me, I didn't want to go some of the places maybe I'd gone before. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't real comfortable tagging along some of those places. He doesn't really like our movies, folks. I'll tell you that right now. Even if it is for violence. You know, usually our movies got more than just violence in them. Usually they've got words in there that you shouldn't be hearing. You know, I can't stand certain words. I mean, certain words I hear, I got to walk out. I was in a minister's home one time. And he sat down and they were watching a movie. And they got it. It was an R movie on video. They'd rented it. And the F word was in there over and over and over. And I could not believe it. My ears are going crazy. I said, I can't stand this. I'm walking out of here. I was really uncomfortable. I was all over my seat. I didn't want to be rude or anything. Because this was a minister of the gospel showing this to his kids. And he was watching it with his kids. I couldn't believe this. And I was obviously antsy or something, but, you know, I didn't want to do anything overt and just walk out because I didn't want to offend him. But on the other hand, I was very uncomfortable. Finally, he could sense I was uncomfortable, and he says, well, maybe we oughtn't to watch this anymore. Mike's kind of uncomfortable. I'm kind of uncomfortable with it, too, you know. And all of a sudden, I thought, how in the world do you go to this stuff? I mean, how do you watch that stuff? I mean, hello? I mean, if you got a different Holy Spirit than I have, because my spirit... And the Holy Spirit that lives in me won't let me watch that kind of stuff. This flat won't do it, you know? And there's a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, the Bible says not to let our conscience be seared. What is searing our conscience? What does that mean? In 1 Timothy it says this, that Paul's talking to the believers, and he said, be careful that you don't get your conscience seared as if with a hot iron. What that means is, if you let yourself just do any old thing, even though you're a Christian, after a while, scar tissue builds up in your conscience. And it will let you do more and more. But that's not God. That's just you pushing God aside in the sense that you're saying, yes, I'm saved and all that, but I don't choose to do that with my life. I want to kind of be in the world a little bit, and I kind of want to be with God a little bit. And you can do that, and you can still go to heaven when you die, but you know what, folks? You're never going to hear much from God. You're going to wonder sometimes, well, how come this happened to me? How come I didn't hear from God? How come God didn't help me? It's because what happens is that little voice inside, that thing that picks up that little voice, is scar tissue kind of builds up after a while, and you don't hear it.
It's true that this is sometimes while non-Christians look at a person and say, that's a Christian, I don't want to be one.
Yeah. I mean, they're sitting in there in the same movie you are, watching the same old stuff and the same people doing all the stuff they're doing, and they know you're a Christian. And say, well, what is with these Christians? I guess, they think something's happened, but boy, I sure can't tell much difference there. You're right. Exactly right, folks. This is up to you, really, but I'm just saying, you know, I've got one life to live on this planet. One life to do what God wants me to do. There's not going to come another chance. This is it. I'm going to spend eternity with Him, and it's going to be wonderful. But I have one life to live on this planet with my wife here. Now, to me, it makes sense to say, God, every day, what do you want me to do today? What would please you? What's your heart's desire for me? He says, well, Mike, right now I'd like you to teach my word. You know, I'd like you to pass on some of the things that I've taught you. Okay, let's do that then. And we'll do that. Now, you know, during the week things come up sometimes, things that, you know, may be fun to do, and I do some fun things, but at some point you've got to say, what's the first priority here? What God wants me to do or what I want to do? Well, you know what happens after a while, folks? What you want to do in here becomes exactly what God wants to do. It's a perfect match. Because your spirit man wants to do what God wants to do all the time. It's your flesh and your mind that you've got to battle. But you know what? After your flesh has been beat up a few times, and after your mind has been jerked around in line with this, you don't have a problem that you used to have. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and that's what we're talking about, and you will not fulfill what? The lusts of the flesh. You have a problem with the flesh in some area? Someone have a problem with pornography? Does someone have a problem with any other things of the flesh? Alcohol, tobacco, whatever? You know what? If you begin to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the truth, folks. When I got saved, I was an alcoholic. And I had a problem with it. And I couldn't give it up. And I love God with all my heart. I was born again. But boy, I'll tell you what, I sure loved that drink in the evening after I got home from work. And finally I decided, look, I'm running marathons. I'm doing everything else. I've got willpower. I know I've got willpower. I've never run a marathon I haven't finished. But boy, you know what? I couldn't pass that liquor store if I knew there wasn't booze or some kind at home. Couldn't do it. Well, I did do it a couple times, didn't I, honey? And I got home, and I'm like a cat on a hot skillet, you know, most of the evening, you know. And finally I said to the kids, kids, would you like some candy? Daddy will get you some candy. Guess where Dad went to get the candy? At the liquor store. You know, and I didn't consider myself an alcoholic. I considered myself just a person that liked to drink to relax when I got home, or a couple of drinks, or maybe three drinks. But I noticed after I had those two or three drinks in the evening that we get in an argument a lot more often over nothing. Seemed like I would get a little bit meaner or something. Not, I never abused my wife or anything like that, but I'd verbally, you know, just, you know, who are you? You know, I've been out working hard all day and you're here at home with the kids and what have you done? To, you know, having fun. You know, it's just nuts. God has so many things to fix in our marriage when I got saved. Most 99% of them are on my side. But you know what? One day I said to God, I said, God, I decided I was going to quit. Black quit. We got willpower, I can do it. I couldn't do it. So I just said, God, in tears, I cried. I said, God, I can't do this. I've tried. I've done everything I know to do. I still can't leave it alone. What can I do? And you know what God said to me? He said, first of all, he said, I know you can't. He understood. And then he said, but I can, if you'll give it to me. I said, you'd want this old habit? He didn't mean he was going to become an alcoholic. But what he meant was, look, if you'll trust me, if you'll cast this care, this burden upon me, I'll do it. Because you can't do it. But this is what I had to learn. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I can't do all things in Mike, but I can do all things in him. But I didn't understand this then. I just said, I give it to you. Okay, so the next time I came to have a drink, I took that drink. Started to taste it. I didn't even try not to. Tasted terrible. Didn't like it at all. That was it. I mean, I'm not putting down anybody that's got to go to AA and do all that kind of thing. That's fine. AA is a good program. My son's been through it. It does a good job. But for me, all I had to do was give it to him. And you know what? That was it. That was the end of that. Because I wanted so much to get rid of this thing. But I didn't know how. But God showed me. Now, he'll do all those kinds of things. But it doesn't come in the new birth. Some of this stuff on your habits and getting the mind renewed, these come a little bit later, a lot of these things. But folks, I question sometimes whether a person's really been saved if this stuff doesn't eventually bubble to the surface. It should. I mean, it should affect our actions. If it's not affecting our actions, then we're what Paul called carnal Christians. We're still body broke. We've got to get in there and dig in this Bible and say, Father, I want to go 100%, whole hog, wild for you. That's number one. Just cut loose. You know what I mean by cutting loose? Just start cutting those old strings to the old world. Just say, Father, I don't want all that junk anymore. I got one life to live. I got one chance to bear fruit for you on this planet. What else compares? I mean, what compares? How does watching TV for 2 hours in the evening compare with spending time with our Heavenly Father in the morning and hearing Him speak softly to you and tell Him what you want to, He wants you to do for the day and Him tell you how much He loves you and you can tell Him how much you love Him? What, it doesn't compare to me. You know, and I'm not trying to bring any condemnation. I'm just going today. I don't know where I'm going really. But I guess I'm just trying to get you some enthusiasm for being a child of God. And the privileges that we have as being Christians. I mean, you know, it's limitless what God can do. Each one of us, He has a beautiful plan for. But that plan will only come to fruition as we just cut the strings and just let ourselves float free with Jesus and let ourselves go. Yeah.
You know, Michael can tell you about alcoholism, but I come from a family of worriers. And worrying is like a thing. And you can turn over your worst worry. My worst worry was my son's craziness for years, 7 or 8 years. And I finally turned it over. I mean, I really turned it over. I was playing the spirit and turned it over.
okay? And I walked away from that, and the Lord told me, I had it in all my hands, trust me. And the relief was just like mine, not that we have all of them. I could sleep, and I would wake up in the night, because God would love to wake up. Where is he? What are you doing? No. To get up and wandering around the living room and stomp and storm and say, no, God told me he took it. I'm not getting it back. Be gone. Thank you.
And I know that sounds crazy, but women, or maybe even men, well, I've never lived in a man's body or mind, women tend to worry. If that's, you know, or whatever. But worry is not, worry about the thing. You can be concerned and that's constructive. But if you worry so much, you're eating yourself a lot, and you're angry, and everything is just hurting, it's like you want to throw up, sick the whole thing. How serious, okay? It's just the same way as you're so disgusting to yourself when you're an alcoholic. You really realize all of a sudden, kaboom! Worry is like a thing, and if you are a Christian and you accept everything God did for you, and he says to you, this is my fault. Give it to me. You gave it to me. I got it.
She taught me about that. Because I was trying to teach her. I kept saying to Marianne, I kept saying, honey, just, you got to cast your cares upon the Lord. That's what the Bible says right here, you know. And that's what we got to do. I didn't even understand what I was saying. I knew the Bible said to do that, but I didn't understand the depth at which you could do this. Then Marianne went to this women's meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there at the meeting, she went up for prayer with this, and Shirley Boone was the one there. And they'd had some problems with their kids. You remember Pat and Shirley Boone? You might know who they are. And she laid hands on Marianne, and Marianne just went down. She was just slain in the spirit, boom. And during while she was slain in the spirit down there on the ground, the Lord spoke to her and told her these things. She came home and told me. I said, honey, you know, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, he did this dumb thing again. Our daughter was also acting up at the time. And she says, what do you mean? And I says, well, here it goes again. She says, no problem. But what's she talking about? She says, I've given it to the Lord. There's no problem here. I didn't understand. See, I was telling her that before, but I had no idea what I was really saying. She came back with this new understanding of what it was to cast your cares upon the Lord. And she didn't have the problem anymore. That was in God's hands. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What do you have to do? First of all, it says be anxious for nothing. Well, if he just says stop there, it'd be pretty tough. But then he tells you how. He says first pray. Let God have it. Number two, start thanking him for the answer. See, every time once you've prayed for something for yourself, I mean, for a personal need, like if it's for me, it's for finances or whatever. Once I've prayed, that's it. Now, when Satan comes back and starts tempting, oh, this is going to be real bad, you better, you know, you haven't seen any finances yet, thank him for the answer. What, you mean before I see anything? That's exactly what I mean, before you see anything. Say, Father, when you're tempted to worry, say, Father, I thank you. I have prayed about this thing, I have cast the care of it upon you, and I thank you that you're taking care of it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it. Oh, Father, you're so good. You're so kind, so loving to answer this prayer the way you have. Because, folks, if we believe that we've received when we pray, and that's what God says to do, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and then you shall have. See, you got to believe you receive when you pray. Well, if you believe you receive when you pray, for a personal need I'm talking about, you don't pray the same prayer over and over and over. You start thanking for the answer after that first time. See, that's a revelation a lot of people. But folks, if we really believe we receive when we pray, why are we still praying for the same thing? You see what I'm saying? Start thanking him. That's faith. And that gets the job done. Okay. I guess that's it. Thank you very much. We'll continue with this next week. And we'll just try to finish it next week. Do the part of the homework that you can do and leave the rest until the week after. Okay, let's go over our homework. This will be homework for NHS number 3. It's really, the lesson was on the new birth, part one, and this is the homework. True or false? Before we were born again, we had Satan's nature, which is spiritual death. Is that true or is that false? Well, that's true. Before we were born again, the Bible tells us, John 8:44 is one place. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do.
In other words, before we're born again, like the Pharisees weren't born again, no one was born again before Jesus went to the cross, were they? He says, you are of your father, the devil. Well, if you're of your father, the devil, of your father, you have his nature. You know, when you're of God, born again, you have God's nature. That's just the way it works in this world. Whatever you're born from, you have that thing's nature. We talk about human nature. We talk about animal nature. See, when we were of our father, the devil, we had his nature. John 8:44 here. But when we're born again, we have God's nature, which is eternal life. Also, I think it'd be good to turn to 1 John 3:10 and read this. It says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. See, there's children of God, which have God's nature, and there are children of the devil, which has the devil's nature. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In other words, whoever doeth not righteousness, you can't do righteousness until you are righteous. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in this lesson, because when we're born again, we receive with a gift the very righteousness of God. So in this are the children of God manifest. There's children of God and the children of the devil. The children of God have God's nature, eternal life. The children of the devil have the devil's nature, which is what? Spiritual death. Next question, true or false? When we were born again, God cleaned us up, that is our spirit, and gave us a new start. Is that true or false? When you're born again, did God clean you up? That's false. God didn't just clean us up at the new birth. He gave us a brand new spirit. And our scripture for that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are of God. So, God didn't just clean us up when we were born again. He completely recreated our spirit. So we became a new creature in Christ. In other words, we're not just refurbished when we're born again, but we're made an entirely new creation. So it's a lot more than just cleaning us up. So that's false. Next question. Even though we've been cleaned up with the new birth, we still have our old sin nature. True or false? Is that true or false? No, that's false. We weren't cleaned up with the new birth, and we still don't have an old sin nature. So that's false. We have a new nature, which is the nature of God, which is eternal life. We're the very righteousness of God now, the Bible tells us, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, he that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you can't have a sin nature and be righteous at the same time. So that's false. We don't still have an old sin nature, and it's also false that we weren't just cleaned up by the new birth. We were recreated in our spirits. So it's false for two reasons, really. Next question. Before getting saved, we were by nature children of wrath. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. In Ephesians 2:3, it says, before we were born again, we all had our way of life in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's true. Before we were saved, we were by nature children of wrath. That's before, though, we were saved. True. Next question. But if we're born again, we have been made to be partakers of God nature, which is eternal life. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. When we're born again, we get an entirely new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, I believe it is, says we are now partakers of the divine nature, which is God's nature. So when we're born again, we have been made to be partakers of the divine nature, which is God's nature, which is eternal life. That's a wonderful truth of the new birth. Just imagine, we have the very same nature that God has, eternal life. That's wonderful. Now that I'm born again, I am the righteousness of God. That's how God can now live in me. Is that true or false? That's true. It's Romans 5:17, I believe it is. Let me just turn there for a second. That says this. They which receive the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. we receive a gift called righteousness, which is really right standing with God. That happens at the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I just quoted, and that also tells us about this new righteousness. Therefore, it says, he that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made, and that's at the new birth, that's what it's talking about in this chapter, the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. We have, as believers, the very righteousness of God. We didn't earn it, but it's a gift, as it says in Romans 5:17. We have been given the gift of righteousness, which is right standing with God. That's how God looks at us when we're born again. The very righteousness that he has, he sees in us. The very righteousness of his son, he sees in us. Some people shy away from that and say, oh, I couldn't be righteous. No, you couldn't on your own. That's why it's a gift. God gave us that very righteousness. So when you're born again, that's true, you become the righteousness of God. And that's how God's Holy Spirit can live in your spirit, because it now contains the very righteousness of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. Next question. I am no longer a sinner, excuse me, I'm a saint, which means I'm a child of God. That is, if you're born again, is what we're talking about here. And that's true. When we're born again, we no longer are called sinners. We're called saints in the Bible, which is God's word, which is equivalent to being called a child of God. See, with his righteousness, which is a gift, we can't be a sinner anymore. You can't be a sinner and have God's righteousness at the same time. A lot of people have the wrong idea. They think that they're a sinner until the time they go to be with God in heaven, when they die, if they're born again. You're not a sinner after you're born again. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That implies that afterwards, except Jesus, we're no longer sinners. We may occasionally sin, but we're no longer called sinners. And if we occasionally sin, what we would do? We confess our sins, and then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. So that's true. You are no longer a sinner when you're born again. You're called a saint, which means you're a child of God. True or false? When I was born again, I gained a new father, which is Jesus. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, as it stated. When you were born again, you indeed did gain a new father, but his name isn't Jesus. His name is what? God the Father. That was just kind of a tricky question. So that would be false, as it stated. Jesus isn't our father. God the Father is our father. So when you were born again, you did gain a new father, God the Father, but not Jesus. So that would be a false answer to that question. Now that I'm a new creation in Christ, I made it go to the throne of God boldly and confidently anytime I desire. Well, that was a kind of a silly little question there. It was based upon the teaching where I kind of made a joke about the word boldly versus baldly, since I'm bald. But now that a week's gone by, it doesn't seem so funny. So anyway, it's false the way it is because I said baldly in there. What should go in that thing and make it true? We can go to the throne of God boldly and confidently anytime we may desire. So it should have boldly in there. So it's false as stated. Scripture, by the way, is that says we can go to the throne of God boldly anytime we desire? Well, I believe that's Hebrews 4:16, isn't it? It says that we can draw near the throne of God boldly, you know, as believers, to obtain grace to help in time of need. That'd be Hebrews 4:16. So that's false. Next question. Even though I'm no longer a sinner by nature, I will sometimes sin, or I sometimes sin. Is that true or false? When we're born again, we are no longer sinners by nature. That's true, isn't it? However, do we still sometimes sin? Yes, we do. And so that's true to that answer. So what do we do when we sin? Well, I just said it a minute ago, didn't I? In 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that book in the Bible, 1 John, is written to believers. So that's what believers do whenever they sin. We no longer sinner by nature, but sometimes our flesh gets ahead of our spirits. And before our spirits can say, no, Mike, or don't do that, and before we obey, we respond to our flesh and we do something we shouldn't do, which is called sin. And even though I'm no longer a sinner by nature, born again, have the very righteousness of God, sometimes I succumb to the flesh and sometimes sin. And in those cases, that's when I go to my Father and do as 1 John 1:9 says, that if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from every bit of unrighteousness I had. So, and that's written for believers. That's what believers do when they sin. They just go before their Heavenly Father and say, Father, I blew it. I'm sorry, I judge myself in this, and I ask you forgiveness and cleansing for doing this, and He immediately forgives you. And that broken fellowship is completely then restored. Next question. When I do sin, I break relationship with God, and I'm no longer His child until I confess my sin. Is that true, or is that false? Well, that's false. Some people think when they sin that they have kind of broken relationship with God, but that's not true. He's still your Father. You're still His child, even after you sin, if you're born again. But when you do sin, you do break what? Fellowship with God, but you're still His child. So that's false. When you sin, you don't break relationship with God. You only break fellowship with God. And you're still His child, even though you've sinned. And He's still your Father, and He still loves you. And all you need to do is go before Him and say, Father, I'm sorry. I blew it. I ask you to forgive me in this area. And He immediately does. But even before we confess our sin, we haven't broken relationship with Him. He's still always going to be our Father. So that's false. Next question. Before I became a Christian, I was a sinner, having no righteousness of my own. Is that true or false? That's true. Before we became a Christian, or by becoming a Christian, I'm talking about here being born again. That's when you become a Christian, when you're born again. Before you were born again, you were a sinner. I was a sinner. We were all sinners. And we had no righteousness of our own. That would be true. Before we were born again. Next question. But after I was saved or born again, I ceased being a sinner by nature and became the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that true or false? That's true. After you were saved, at the instant of the new birth, your spirit man was recreated. You ceased being a sinner by nature. You took on the very nature of God, which is eternal life, and became the very righteousness of God, a gift, the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. So that's true. Next question. Excuse me. Since I have become the righteousness of God, it means I have right standing with God and can come into His presence without guilt or a sense of unworthiness any time I so desire. Is that true or is that false? That's absolutely true. Once we obtain the righteousness of God in the new birth, it means righteousness means right standing with God. We have complete right standing with God and can come into His presence without guilt or a sense of unworthiness anytime we want. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of Romans 5:1 here, which helped me a lot when I was a brand new Christian. It says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're born again, you're called being justified by faith. You've accepted Jesus by faith. And from that point on, you have peace with God. God is not mad at you. There is no wrath of God upon you. You're His child, and He loves you. So that's a wonderful thing to know. Next question. True or false? As a Christian, I am now in Christ, which means I am part of the body of Christ. That's true. When we become Christians, we become born again or saved, same thing. It's called being in Christ, and it means that we are part of His very body. Not His fleshly body, but His spiritual body. He's the head. Jesus is the head of the church. He's in heaven, and we're His body, and we're on the earth. And when Jesus wants to act now, since He's gone back to heaven, He acts through His body on the earth, which is us. So that's a great responsibility we have as believers, to be the body of Christ on earth, to carry out God's will on earth. Next question. Before I was born again, I, the old man, died. That's false. It means when I was born again, that old sinner man died. When you were born again, that old man, that sinner man that was didn't have the righteousness of God, that old man died, and you became a Christian and a brand new person in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are of God. So That tells us that when we were born again, our spirit man was recreated. So it's false as stated. It was when I was born again the old man died. It wasn't before I was born again. So that's false. Next question. Then I was recreated with a new spirit, which was declared righteous and perfect fellowship with God. Is that true or false? That's true. When we were born again, our spirit was recreated. We received a new spirit in perfect fellowship with God, which God declared to be righteous and in perfect fellowship with Him. So that's true. It's a wonderful truth of what happened to us at the new birth. Because I'm saved, I will get eternal life when I get to heaven. Is that true or false? That's false. The Bible tells us we have eternal life now. It just occurs to me. Turn to John 3:15 if you've got your Bibles there. Let me read something to you. John 3:15. Jesus said this, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, whosoever believes in Him, talking about Jesus, He's talking about Himself here, should not perish, but have eternal life. When do we receive eternal life? When we believe on Him. That's when we receive eternal life. Did you believe on Jesus yet? If you're born again, you can answer yes to that question, and therefore you have eternal life right now. So you don't get eternal life when you get to heaven. When you're born again, you receive that new nature into your spirit of eternal life. So if you're sitting out there listening to this, and you know that you've been born again, then know also that you have eternal life right now. You want a second proof? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I'm turning there right now myself. 1 John chapter 5 says, I'll get there a second, verse 13, I believe it is, yes. John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you believed on the name of the Son of God? Yes, you have if you're a believer. That you might know that you are going to get eternal life? No. It says here, if you've believed on the name of the Son of God, he's writing this that you might know that you have eternal life. Have, past tense, you already have it. If you've believed on the name of the Son of God, been born again, then know this, that you have, past tense, eternal life. So there's another proof. So when you're saved, you don't get eternal life when you get to heaven. That's false. You have it now. So that's why that question is false, because it says you get it when you get to heaven. No, you've already got it if you're a believer. True or false? I will be placed into God's kingdom then. In other words, when I get to heaven. Well, that sounds like it should be true, but it's false. You're not placed into God's kingdom when you get to heaven. You're placed into God's kingdom when you get born again. Well, we're looking in the Bible. Turn to Colossians 1:13. Talking about believers here. And talking about Jesus. And talking about the Heavenly Father here. It says, let's go up to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, this is Colossians 1:12, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen, this applies to us. Who has delivered us, that's you and me, as believers, from the power of darkness, that would be Satan's kingdom, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When did that happen? It says, He has made us meet, are able to be partakers, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, who has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's at the new birth. So you're not going to be placed into God's kingdom in the by and by when you get to heaven. You're placed there now. God sees you there now. And the last question says, and Jesus, that talking about when we get to heaven, and at that time Jesus will become my Lord, God will become my Father, and the Holy Spirit will come to dwell in my spirit. No, that happens now, at the instant of the new birth. When you're born again, Jesus, that instant, becomes your Lord. God, at that instant, becomes your Father. And the Holy Spirit, at that instant, comes to live and dwell in your spirit. That's at the instant of the new birth. And since this question says, when we get to heaven, this is going to happen, it's false. This question is false. you receive Jesus as your Lord when you're born again at that instant. God becomes your Father at that instant, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit at the very instant you're born again. Well, that completes our homework for part one of the new birth, and we'll continue on with part two of this wonderful topic next week. That's the end of this homework discussion.